Yeah, you've been Gene Okerlund.
John Cena, I've come for you now.
What do you get in line? Bitch, what line?
Welcome to the first episode of 2019 Talkmania. I'm your host Dez, here with the New Year's baby boy, J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb.
What is up, man? 2019.
Man, it's crazy. I remember being a kid, born 1985, 2019. Man, I would think we'd be like in flying cars and those Marty McFly skateboards or something. But no, here we are arguing about building a wall in 2019.
You know what's cool? In 1 year, we're in the 20s for the first time in a long time. We could finally call it like an era. Because what do you call this?
2020.
Like, what do you call the O's?
Cheerios.
Cheerio. So what's up, man? How you doing? How you survived the holiday season?
I survived half the holiday season, and then I got really sick. So first of all, sorry to all you folks for Talkmania. Well, we had a week off. I think we deserved it. We had a big year. Yeah. We earned it.
Yeah.
And I was not feeling very good. I needed to take a week off to recover, but I'm feeling great. You know, I watched Wrestle Kingdom. I watched TNA, Homecoming. So we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. It's a new year. We're going to try to touch on a little bit more outside of the WWE, and I'm really excited to be back here with you, J-Bomb. I like you today. I'm happy to see your face.
Oh, I'm happy to see you too. Where are you in Red Dead Revolver? Redemption.
First of all, you slaughtered it again, so that's not going to be changing this year.
Always.
But yes, while I was sick, I finished off Red Dead Redemption 2. So
too.
I'm done. The
me
whole
too.
Grand Enchilada is done. I did the epilogue. I built my house beam by beam by
fun.
Beam.
It was fun.
I built my barn. Yeah, it was a nice, refreshing epilogue. I liked it. And it was long, and I liked it because the game just... I know people are going to say it went on too long, but...
No way.
I was,
no
towards
way.
The end, I was like, oh my God, I'm wrapping up. I'm going to miss all these missions and stuff.
Me too.
And yeah, but it was cool. And I liked the fact that it ended the same way it started up in the snowy mountains,
yeah,
right? So
that was cool.
Kind of cool. And yeah, really cool. You go up there with Sadie and you, and Charles too, they both get wounded, but you know, you save the day and take out Mackay and
you know
Micah.
What you know what
that.
Sucks
Mackay, yeah. Micah.
Is that okay, did you go into town and then drag that dude up to like hang him before going to see Micah?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yes, I did.
I found that more rewarding than the death of Micah. I wish I could have like slaughtered him.
So I agree with you. I liked the bringing the guy in the town, dragging him up to the where the gallows,
okay,
and hanging him. So, question obvious. I know what Jay's answer is going to be. Oh, yeah. Did you hang him?
Well, fucking right. Didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, then I shot him to. Profusely for like 20 minutes.
It's funny because my girlfriend is sitting beside me and she's like, "You're not going to do it, are you?" And I'm like, and I had to tell her the whole backstory. I'm like, "Listen. Listen what this guy did, you know, and he did this and he did that and he did this and, you know, he really kind of infiltrated with Micah and put the poison into our group and really broke us apart." And at the end, she's like, "Okay, hang that motherfucker."
Dude, so, I play with headphones on and I was up to no good and I didn't know my wife was standing beside me and I'm doing my thing and all of a sudden she just goes, "What the fuck?" And I look over and she freaks me out and I'm like, "What?" I'd been sitting there for like a good, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. Just stabbing my horse.
Oh my God. He was dead, I guess? Ready?
No, you. Could, I don't know if it glitched out, but he was just standing there. And if you take the saddle off of him, you could stab him. So I just stood there stabbing the motherfucker. He never died.
No horse meat.
No, and there was tons of gashes. Because it's not like those old games where like you would shoot bullets and then after about 20 holes, like the first one would
they
disappear.
Fade away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just like so much gash, man. And I was pretty embarrassed, but...
I agree, though, with Micah in the end. It was very anticlimactic.
You don't even kill him.
I know, but Dutch, man.
I know, you know? Fuck Dutch. Fuck him.
I mean, he's supposed to play a big part of it. He's involved in Red Dead 1, so that's kind of it. But you're right. I think it was very kind of lackluster, but I did like the whole journey up the mountain. You're going through the snow, like extra deep snow. You're taking everybody out left and right. They got music playing. And,
oh, yeah, that was cool.
Well, that's it. And I want to ask you, did you return back to the mountain after you killed him?
No, you could do this.
Yeah, you get his guns.
Yo, like apparently guns. You can go back to all your old camps and get shit.
Hmm, yeah. Interesting. I went back to a few, but yeah, Micah, you can get his guns. Mm. And then when I wrapped up everything, because now I'm going to do the hunting missions, okay. And I actually started doing some. Check us out, guys. I'm going to plug our Twitch, Talkamaniacs. I'm going to be on there wrapping up my hunting and my fishing. I'm going to be going after that giant gator. So if you don't join me live, you can check out our Twitch feed, and it'll be up there for a little while. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But yes, before I started that, I had one last thing to do. One last thing to make amends to have that final peace in the Wild Wild West. And that was, I visited Arthur's grave.
Oh, fuck. You can do this?
Yeah, you can visit his grave. It's about northeast on the map, and you got to climb up some rocks, and you go there, and it's a bit sad.
Oh, I got to go check this out. There's plenty more to do. I still have a bunch of white side missions to finish. So
I threw a Molotov cocktail at it, and it just burned and burned and burned. It was pretty cruel of me, but
oh well. Dez, tell our listeners where they could find us.
All right, guys, give us a follow on Twitter at _Talkamania. Check us out on Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast kicks from. And make sure to check us out, prowrestlingtees.com/Talkamania. J-Bomb, tell them the news.
We're going to have a sweet sale. It's going to start this week. It's going to run all the way through January and February. And if it goes good, through March as well. We're going to be putting all of our merch 25% off, so hit it up. Pretty cheap stuff. Support the podcast and keep this dream alive.
Sweet. All right, one more thing I want to talk about. I was sick, right? So I was kind of incapacitated. But one thing that I did do, two things. One was on my bucket list, and I finally caught up and watched the latest Star Wars flick, The Last Jedi.
I'm so far behind.
Oh, dude. And I was like, you know what? The series, you know, it's not as much, not what it once was. I took a little bit of time in between to watch them. And I said, you know what? During this holiday, I'm going to watch it. And I had time because my wife was at work. And I watched it. And dude, it was good, man. It was good. Meh. Especially with surround sound and all that jazz. Nah, I really liked it. So I'm really looking forward to the next one, guys. If you haven't seen it, check it out if you're a Star Wars fan. I liked it, man. I liked it.
I don't think I've watched it since, I don't know. I think episode one was the last one I seen.
Well, that's your problem, man. You're like, I don't like this, but you don't watch it. So
I watched
like
six of them or five of them or whatever. So come on, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but you gave up, man.
The old ones are good. I don't like the new ones.
But it's cool because Luke Skywalker's in this one. He's kind of back. He's the last Jedi, and he's training the girl, or the girl wants him to train. And then there's,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, all right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And lastly, dude, I listened to Bruce Pritchard, Something to Wrestle With. Yeah. I'm excited, guys. I'm back, you know? Bruce Pritchard's Something to Wrestle With podcast, guys. Check it out. It's really cool. They have them on YouTube, just kind of short breakups if you don't want to listen to the whole podcast. He'll talk about the 1997 Montreal screwjob controversy, Sonny being in the WWE, China and the whole love triangle. All these controversial things are on there. It's really cool. This guy was involved. He was writing, and he has insider info. So it's really, really refreshing and really interesting if you like that kind of stuff. I like the backstage politics and the behind-the-scenes stuff.
The shoots.
So it's worth checking out, guys. Really cool stuff.
Awesome, man. Well, with that, let's get into the nitty-gritty. We're done with the 2018 holiday season. It's behind us. And honestly, man, I feel like the WWE kind of took a back seat during these holidays. And we had Wrestle Kingdom 13, Impact's Homecoming, the announcement of AEW, all the Kenny Omega rumors. I mean, you name it, it happened. So let's go through this one by one. We'll start off with the announcement of AEW, which is dope as fuck. So we saw the press conference on January 8th with the announcement of the signing, Double or Nothing in Vegas, Pyro, equal pay, wins and losses that matter. We saw Pac, Neville, that was freaking dope, and Jesus, Chris fucking Jericho was there. I mean, what is there not to be excited about?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I was texting you. I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this happened, and this, and then he's there, and they got Pyro, and they got Eagle Peck, and Jericho, and Pac.
And I didn't even know it was happening.
It was overwhelming, and it was exciting. Billy Gunn's also going to be one of the writers or producers. So that's super exciting. These guys kind of know what the fans have been looking for. We got kind of young people involved in this. Cody Rhodes, a young Bucks. So, you know, they're fanboys themselves. They're going to be delivering here, folks. And I'm really, really excited. You said something quite, I guess, on point that the WWE lost a lot of people during the holidays.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we had those recorded shows. Yep. We weren't getting that new change they've been promising us week after week after week. And we've been seeing all these new alternatives. Wrestle Kingdom was amazing.
So good.
You know, even TNA Homecoming was refreshing to watch.
It was good.
And then AEW, the press conference. Oh, I mean, you know, they gave us a lot of what we've been waiting for and what we've wanted. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do and who they're going to sign. You know, Hangman Page versus Pac seems to be what they're teasing for the AEW title. I can get behind that.
Fucking
I think it's going to be exciting. And then you got Jericho involved. And apparently he's still going to be able to do his New Japan Pro Wrestling commitments.
Oh, really?
So, you know, yeah. So, you know the way he is. He's kind of a drifter. He goes back and forth. I'm sure Cody Rhodes is going to let him do his projects and what he wants to do. Now, my main question here is, what does this mean for the relationship between Chris Jericho and the WWE and Vince McMahon?
That's exactly what I was just about to ask you. And I want your take on it. My take is not going to be as interesting as yours. I mean, like, how does this affect his chances with Hall of Fame, you know, in the future? Do we know how long Jericho is with AEW for?
I'm sure the details of people's contracts will come up shortly. Jericho's might be out there already or rumors about it already, but I'm sure we'll find out sooner or later. I'm pretty sure it gives him a lot of, I guess, freedom to do his own things. Jericho's kind of someone that wants to put his hands in all kinds of pots and, you know, do his own thing. I don't think they're going to limit him here. It would be stupid to do that. It kind of comes down to what the WWE thinks of it. I mean, we saw on SmackDown this week, it was in Jacksonville. So it's so funny how things work out. And then you had fans who were coming from the press conference wearing their AEW gear, and they were actually being denied at the door, or rumored to be denied. I mean, there's some people that said the people that were wearing the AEW gear were causing chaos or being a bit of a pain in the ass, so that's why they weren't let in. But then again, there's some people who said they literally weren't let in on a different exit, but then were let in on a different one. So obviously, the WWE doesn't really know how to respond offhand. I'm sure they had a meeting internally. And yeah, maybe they're trying to prevent AEW fans to come in there and hijack the show. Oh, come on. I mean, it's not going to happen. But, you know, it's a bit disappointing. That's the reaction. But, you know, back on the point of Chris Jericho and his Hall of Fame induction, right? Well, definitely going to cause a delay in that. You know, I don't think Jericho's going to retire yet. So I would assume they'd be waiting for that. But I don't think it's going to hurt his overall chances. I think Jericho, it's undoubtedly, would have to go into the Hall of Fame at some point. We've seen people who've done a lot worse, Hogan included, you know, in the Hall of Fame. So I think at some point or the other, Jericho will enter it. But this is definitely going to sour things between Jericho and the WWE. Don't expect him to be in the Royal Rumble this year, guys.
Shit, man. My Discord just froze. Not going to lie. Were you talking that whole time?
I was talking that whole time.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You can, if you want, we can cut there, and you can just pick up where you want.
I'm good. I'm gonna have to listen back to what you said because I have no idea what you answered.
So I gotta ask you this, J-Bomb. So one of the biggest questions that are gonna be asked: what about Omega? He wasn't mentioned at all during this press conference, right? So some people are saying, well, look, you know, if they were going to sign Omega, that would be one of the biggest selling points. That would be one of the biggest reasons people would tune in to AEW, and probably one of the biggest questions left at the end of the press conference. So we saw him drop the title at Wrestle Kingdom in a great matchup, but a lot of people did it. We kind of noticed the trend of people dropping their titles who were kind of moving over into AEW. So I got to think, Omega, it's no news that he's been offered a lucrative contract for the WWE, and is he going to take the money, or is he going to take the chance of being part of history in this new promotion? So, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
It's a tough one. I mean, after watching Wrestle Kingdom, seeing, I mean, not only the Elite, but pretty much everybody dropped their titles. I don't know, man. It's a tough question to answer. You see them kind of teasing it on Being the Elite on YouTube, but my gut says he's going to WWE because I don't see why that they would have the presser, have Jericho there, have Pac there, announce everything else, and then just, you know, not talk about Kenny. Unless he shows up at All In March, but I think that's like too long of a wait.
No, I think they'd announce it ahead of time. I think they're being careful because he's still in contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling until the end of January. So it's quite possible he just can't be mentioned. They can't basically say he's signing with us because I don't know if it'll be a breach of contract. Not really.
But they have such a good relationship with New Japan. So you'd think that the timing of it.
Apparently, they're a little bit soured on the way Kenny's leaving. Apparently, it wasn't, I guess, early enough notice. They found out that he was leaving through the internet. Let's put it that way.
No way.
Yeah, they did. That's what I was reading, and that's what Dave Meltzer reported as well, too, that New Japan Pro Wrestling was like, oh, well, thanks for letting us know, because we read, like, a message board or, like, you know, one of those fan sites, whatever, and that's how we found out. He did an interview, that's what it was, and they found out that way. So they were a bit surprised and taken back. Maybe he's being a bit careful on how he does things, or maybe he just hasn't decided yet, so he doesn't want to promise anything. But, you know, we did watch Being the Elite on their Being Elite YouTube channel. And just similarly to when they wanted to announce the AEW, there was the end, the countdown, that tick, 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 you know, kind of counting down. And then, well, Kenny Omega lost his phone. They found the phone and it had that same countdown. So people were thinking that that's really heavily rumored that he would be in AEW.
These guys are boys. I think it's a swerve.
They're boys. They're families. Yes, some people are saying the same thing. They're so much boys that they would help each other out.
For sure.
And be like, look, you know, we'll make it look like you're not going to be there. We'll help you out in the WWE. Think about it. Kenny Omega, he could come in, do the Royal Rumble. Well, I guess he couldn't do the Royal Rumble. It would have to be after, which is very unfortunate, unless he works something out. But he could do a WrestleMania match. Imagine that, AJ Styles, Omega. That would be fantastic. Oh, wow. And the fanboy inside of me and the selfishness inside of me wants to see that because we're going to WrestleMania 35.
Hell yeah.
So to see that would be amazing. And at 35, it would be amazing. And if the WWE don't land him, it's at no fault. They've tried all they can. Yeah. They've thrown money at him. If he decides to go to the AEW, then that's it. But another part of me wants him to because this is going to make this competition and this promotion real. This is the real deal, man. They're going to be able to directly compete with the WWE. No, they're not going to have the billions and millions of dollars McMahon has, although they do have the Jacksonville Jaguars co-owner, right?
Yeah.
So Tony Khan could provide them with what they need. So it's going to be an exciting, I guess, year of wrestling. And Kenny Omega, it's going to be a big question mark. What do you guys think at home listening?
See, I don't know about it competing with WWE, man. Like, I look at it like, all these
wrestlers. It's an alternative, though. People are going to start tuning in, man. They're going to be excited to see this.
Okay, first, there's no TV deal yet, right? At least no announced TV deal. Secondly,
it won't take very long.
No, but think about it. All these guys have been in the same promotion already. We watched Wrestle Kingdom. We watched Homecoming. I've been watching Being Lee for a while. All this good stuff is going on, and it's not affecting WWE at all, like competition-wise. You know what I mean? So why is it that all of a sudden the AEW is going to come in and take a step above New Japan, take a step above ROH? Like, I don't see how it's any different. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to offer an awesome alternative for everybody to watch. I think everybody's going to be interested. But in the long run, I don't see them. It's not going to be like WCW versus WWE with the Monday Night Wars.
Definitely not to start. But I think people are going to be turning their heads because it's something new. And I guess, why do people look at these other promotions? Because of the Young Bucks, because of Cody Rhodes, because of Hangman Page, because of Kenny Omega.
But they haven't taken
And they're going to be the core of this promotion, which they can build around and add stars to make it even more exciting. They already added Neville Pac, right? Well, Jesus Christ, that blew the roof off of the social media.
I think if more people defect to AEW from WWE, we might see it.
They will, I guarantee you.
But if they're just collecting might be one of them.
They're already teasing Zack Ryder as well, too, going over there. So
is that going to do anything for you?
Well, it's not going to do anything for me, but I mean, like, I guess you're proving a good point.
Like, when WCW
did
it.
You're going to see the defecting.
I know,
it's going
but
to happen.
Who, think about who defected from WWE to WCW. We saw Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Diesel.
Yeah, but we're not
Razor
talking
Ramon.
About Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo. We're talking about, you know, people who have no writing experience.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I'm going to watch it 100%. I just mean that when people are already saying that the AEW is going to directly compete with the WWE, I think it's a little bit naive of them to think of it, because if that was the fact, ROH would have been competing against them and New Japan would have been competing against them already. Like Impact, I was super impressed with Impact, even like the production value of it. And there was a ton of defection from WWE to TNA back in the day, and it still never really competed.
We got to pay your talent.
Oh, is that it?
Well, that's why a lot of people left. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. And you know what? It's a good way to look at it. It shouldn't be competition. And I don't think Cody Rhodes, he's been very vocal and he's very positive when he talks about the WWE.
Oh,
even
sure.
When they were talking about not letting people in wearing AEW gear, they were saying, well, look, you know, it must be isolated incidents. It might be a few bodyguards here or there. I don't think it's the whole company that issued this, you know, warning out.
It was probably where Daniel Bryan was shooting those shots at the beginning.
Maybe.
They were like, I don't want AEW guys around here. Please go away.
You know what? It very well could have been. That's a very, very good point that no one's probably thought of.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And I think it's kind of like, look, man, let's all work together. You know, let's make wrestling, you know.
Great again?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I didn't want to steal Trump's line.
Yeah. No, but it's exciting.
AEW, I'm excited. I will cheers to that. I know you can't drink this month, but...
I think it's going to surpass the month. I've had a dry January, and I think so far, would we like 10 days in? I'm going to see how far I can push this, because I've really enjoyed it. I dream again. It's crazy.
I dream every night, so I don't have that issue. But I would feel healthier. I'd probably feel nice. But like I was thinking, if I knew you were going to do it, I would have maybe would have done it with you for the month of January.
Start?
Nah, man. Fuck it. Fuck it.
You're like,
I quit.
Speaking of Wrestle Kingdom, let's just take a second and talk about that Will Ospreay-Kota Ibushi match. To me, it was easily the match of the night.
It was one of my favorite matches that I've seen in 2019.
There's not many. But the ending, the controversial ending, was it a work? Or what do you think?
I can't see how that knocked him out. I mean, like, I saw, like, all the other moves he did during the match should have knocked him out. It was an aggressive match. Yeah. I love the spots. I think the back and forth was amazing. You know, for Will, I know people love this guy. I'm kind of new to him, so he's winning me. You know, I got to give him some time to win me over, but I know the kid's damn talented.
Crazy, yeah.
And Kota Ibushi, I love him. I love everything that guy does. So I was excited to see this match. These guys delivered. I think it was maybe the best match of Wrestle Kingdom for me.
Yeah, it was for me.
You know, I'm not going to say Omega is worse or better, but I don't think Omega put on his best match. I found that match was more like, hey, put on a good match. The whole point here is to drop the title. But I felt like Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay was just, it was amazing. It was a great way to open the show as well, too. And the forearm or the knee, was it a forearm, right?
Forearm. Back? Yeah, it was like an elbow thing.
He sold it like he was knocked out, for sure. But I don't know, man. I look at it and it didn't look like it was that rough.
There hasn't been
many updates on it since either. Like that it was, you know, more details on his, you know, it was just kind of.
But they kept mentioning that, right? They kept reminding their fans or their watchers that there was no updates, which makes me think that it was a work. And like, there's no way Will Ospreay would have picked him up, knocked out. And that's it, too.
We were talking about that. And it's like, I think it was a way to make Will Ospreay pick up the win, look good, but kind of save Kota Ibushi some face, I guess.
I agree.
You know, like, well, look, he got knocked out the hard way. And you're right. If he would have done that, there's no way he would have hit his finisher. Mind you, back in the day, WWE, they would have done that. They would have been like, oh he's concussed. Yeah. Just hit your finisher and then hit him over the head with a steel chair. And then, yeah. You know, thumbtacks and then pin him, you know?
Exactly.
It was really cool, really refreshing. I'm really trying to get into New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I like it. It didn't take me very long at all to get bit by the bug, so I'm excited. I'm probably going to tune into all their main events now going forward.
I feel bad for them a bit. With the departure of the Elite, I feel like all their American viewers are going to be like, I'll see ya.
Right, well.
I probably will. But that's just
we'll
me.
See. Maybe we'll see some new stars, and then you'll see the AEW will headhunt them all.
Exactly. See, the thing is that I've watched... Since Wrestle Kingdom 12, when Jericho went over, that's my first glimpse into like watching a full pay-per-view. But over the course of the last year, I've watched a few here and there, and while the matches are really, really good, and I'm not taking away anything from them, and I'm probably going to get some slack from this, is that it's still just a New Japan formula. Like, there's a lot of false finishes. It's finisher after finisher after finisher. There's always a fucking table.
And false finishes, man. I'm telling you, a little bit too extreme.
I like it, but I like this Wrestle Kingdom. I was just kind of like, okay, I've kind of seen this. Like you mentioned, it wasn't Omega's best match. If this was the first Omega match I would have seen, I would have been like, oh my god, this guy's freaking amazing. But I watched all of his stuff against Okada, right?
Right. And right.
It was kind of just him versus a shittier version of Okada, I guess you could say. So, like,
yeah.
But it was similar. It was still like
the match was good, though. I'm not taking it away. No, the match was great.
And yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. It's just that we're so used to the WWE formula, right? We see it coming. And I haven't watched that much in New Japan. And I already feel like, okay, I kind of understand their formula. It's either crazy spots with no sells or just false finishing with tons of selling.
A lot of no sells. That's one thing about the Young Bucks. I'm actually, I respect them. But they seem to be like high spot, no sell, no sell.
Yeah, no selling at all.
And a lot of that, we were talking about this too as well after we had synced up about Wrestle Kingdom. So many times, I noticed it and you did.
Yeah.
They'd be like, a kick out at two, but the guy's shoulders are still down.
Like the ref absolutely knew what was going on.
That's it. But one thing I do like though, when you, on like a Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown, you have Corey Graves like just mount yep, and you have Renee Young yep. And although I like them, I just like it's a bit more refreshing in New Japan where like they don't talk as much outside of the moves that they're executing.
I agree.
Then there's like long periods of silence. And then like, the crowd, I like that. I don't know if it's because I'm not used to it, but I liked it because they were telling a story in the ring as opposed to being distracted by all this garble.
Well, that's it. In WWE, the commentators are telling you the story as it happens. Like if something kind of goes awry in the ring, the commentators make up for it. And it's annoying. Like I was watching SmackDown and I don't know how many times they showed the image of Carmella versus Becky versus Charlotte coming up and just repetition of who Becky Lynch is and who Charlotte is. Like, dude, we fucking watch. Like,
I know.
We fucking watch it. Come on. We know.
You want to talk about repetition? How many times have they played those NXT call-up videos?
Oh, my God.
It's been like a month. It's been more than a month. It's
ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about it. I feel like I'm already sick of all of them. And I'm like, that EC3 is so cringy.
None of them stand out. Okay, EC3, we've seen the video, right? This guy's got no furniture in his apartment. He's got nothing in his apartment.
Close up.
He walks in, he drops his keys, and you're going to tell me this guy wears his gear under his suit like he's a superhero?
It's so fucking weird, right?
He looks like a Jersey Shore, like muscle beefcake, So,
you stupid idiots!
Seriously, I'm very much over that, and I think coming out of the holiday season, like you said, the two taped episodes hurt. Actually, four taped episodes in a row. So that hurt.
You shouldn't talk about Change either going into it because it was a really bad timing.
Do it after. Change. Recordings. Yeah. Recordings. Let's take a quick second and talk about the disappointment of the night at Wrestle Kingdom. Cody versus Juice Robinson. I was pretty excited for this match. I really always enjoy Cody matches.
It made Cody look weak, I found.
Well, I think that was kind of everybody's goal, is to make the Elite kind of look like shit on their last night. But it just didn't deliver or hit on anything for me.
The only thing I liked was the opponent had the, all the juice references, right? I was like watching and he's like, he hit the juice box. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I like this guy now. The juice box.
I like Juice Robinson for sure.
Pulp Friction. Yeah, he just signed an extension too, like a multi-year extension. So he's going to be one of their top guys, I guess.
For sure. And I think they're going to go hard on Jay Lethal too. That match was actually pretty good.
So can Brandi just come in the ring like that? I've got to ask because it seems like she can just like, there's disqualifications, but the ref's like...
Here's the thing.
You can just get out or I will disqualify him. And come on.
This is what I've been trying to tell you about tag team matches, 3v3 matches, and just how New Japan's a little bit different. ROH is like this too. They don't stick to these crazy disqualifications.
The rules are a suggestion.
No, but I like it better because it's like there's judgment in the ring. Because in WWE, they stick to the rules like crazy, but then all of a sudden there's a rope break and a no DQ match. And you're like,
yeah, but you'll have, or in a cage match or something. Yeah.
Like a triple threat is no DQ, correct? but they never have anybody come down and interfere in them, like on the regular. And there's rope breaks in it, and I'm sitting there going like, what? It's no DQ match. It's fucking ridiculous. But I didn't think it delivered, and to me it was like the biggest disappointment of the night. So that's where I end.
I think for the expectations of Cody Rhodes, I mean, like, you know, the guy's opening his own promotion. He's wearing the Jacksonville Jaguar themed tights as well, too. And, yeah, I mean, basically he went in there to hand the title over to Juice, which is fine. I get it. He's going on to amazing things. Cody Rhodes is the man.
Yeah.
But I guess I was expecting a little bit more out of his final match in New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, Jericho, too. I mean, the match actually with Jericho was pretty good. I liked it. I thought it was good, too. But, you know, obviously it just seemed like the theme of the night was, you know, we're all dropping our titles. We're moving on to AEW.
Yeah, I think there was like 6 title drops in a row, and they weren't all the Elite. And it was like, what the fuck is going on? And I got up at 3. I got up at 3 and watched it. And they, like, ripped through that card. So I thought Omega's match was going to go a lot longer. I thought Cody's match was going to go a lot longer, so...
Well, I was late to the party. I watched, like, definitely not the day of, a couple days after. I wasn't feeling well.
Smart move.
So one thing out of the New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? You see Tama Tonga. He's on social media. He's a real dick. He's always talking about the real Bullet Club and all this stuff. And I just hate his face. He looks like an Uso reject almost. But now that he's doing this good guy gimmick.
He's Haiku-san.
I'm like. Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a noob there, guys. Sorry about that. Slap. But now he's doing this good guy gimmick, and he's actually really doing a good job at it.
He's doing a great job, yeah.
In the match, too, he's like, oh, no, don't do anything illegal. And then here's the rope. Take it, you know? Like, he's just like, oh, man, I kind of like it. Right? Yeah, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. So we'll see where that goes. But I don't know. New Japan's got some good talent in there. I'm excited to be watching, getting into it, and expanding beyond the WWE because, to be quite honest, like it's been really shitty. It's tough.
There's a lot I really like about WWE. I almost wish it would take a step back in production. Like we saw, like NXT is filmed a lot, like produced a lot cooler, I think, with the darker crowd and the darker mats, but that's a whole other subject. But after watching Impact's Homecoming, and Impact was always something that whenever I saw clips of it, I just looked at it like I used to look at WCW before NWO came in. I was like, oh, this is where all the shitty WWE old dudes go to. And then Lucha Brothers versus the Latin America Exchange came on.
Dude, it was one of the best tag team matches I've seen in years. No ever? Kidding, like straight like, up.
Yeah, it was really, 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 really good. And I'd love to see the Lucha Brothers.
Imagine putting the Usos in there, you know, or whatever. It'd be pretty cool.
They'd almost...
I don't even know if they could hang. You know, They'd be out of breath.
It was wild. And it just kept delivering and kept delivering. Eli Drake versus Abyss was good as well.
I felt like we were seeing like a rich man's Usos or something in there. I don't know. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. Tag team wrestling outside of the WWE.
So good. The moves they were pulling off. It was just like one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And
the pace is
tag team stuff I'd never seen before. Like I thought I'd seen everything. It was great.
There's no 5 count when your partner gets in. Yeah, you kind of lose track of who the legal guy is, and who gives a shit? It's just double team, double team, double team.
It's something different, man, and don't pick it apart, you know? It's just like, enjoy it for what it is.
So good. Eli Drake versus Abyss was good. I thought it was like a beautiful disaster in the ring.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. We were talking about him and how long he's been with the company for, and I was saying how like he looks like Kane and Mankind had a baby. That's what he looked like. But yeah, outside of the whole, zip ties on their arm not working out, they should have rehearsed that or had the zip ties put together beforehand. But they recovered nice from it. And, you know, the thumbtack spot was good. We always enjoy a nice thumbtack spot. And dude, when he ran and they gave him the overhead throw
belly
to the outside.
Wild.
Yeah, overhead belly to belly through the tables. And then he fell awkwardly. Oh,
it looked like it hurt him too. Yeah. He fell backwards there. It's fucking dope.
That was cool. You were like, yeah, TNA Homecoming's on. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this shit. And then I was like, you know what? Why not? And I tuned in. I think it was that tag team match or the match before. But, dude, I enjoyed it. It was refreshing. And it was definitely cool to see. Had a different vibe. Tessa Blanchard was really good, too.
Really
Gail
good.
Kim.
Yeah.
And Taya Valkyrie as well, too. That match was good.
Yo, Gail Kim. Wow. Whew. Nice.
Yeah, she's those tits. You know, I like Asian ladies. So.
But You missed the X Division match that opened the night, and it was really good too.
I'm sorry, man. Maybe if I watched, I'd change my tone. But them hanging from that rope is
awesome.
It looks ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but it's just a little bit different than the ladder match. And then they also have four posts, like hanging the ropes, and they climb those things. It was well done. And Rich Swann won, which was, I don't know. I still think of him just beating up a girl, so it's odd. But
I want to watch a Jordynne Grace match. Jordynne Grace
that?
Match. I'm kind of new to her, but I've been watching her on social media, and she
I
looks
love her
like
on Twitter.
She's for sure. I remember watching a couple like months ago. She's like, I leave my DMs open because I want to interact with my fans. And then like a week ago, it's like I'm closing my DM because people are sending me dick pics. You know, it's like
she had a spot in that match where she powerbombed somebody and power slammed somebody at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. I saw that. Yeah, I saw a video of that afterwards. She's cool. She looks like a really cool chick as well, too.
Yeah.
And, woman. And I think she's got a good future ahead of her. I think she'll be a key player. She'll probably get signed by AEW, if not the WWE.
I love how we're like, oh, they're awesome. Oh, they're probably going to go to AEW.
Well, for sure. They're going to take the best of the best. That's what they're looking for.
I don't know her name. I don't remember her name, but like that creepy girl. Do you know who I'm talking about? Who spit the blood on Jordynne?
The one that always looks like all gothic and bloody and makeup and stuff?
Yeah, and after the match, they had like these women come out where they were like to call like the undead bridesmaids, and they came out holding a casket, and then the casket popped up, and it was somebody else in the casket. And I was just like, this is so stupid. My wife is like, what the fuck are you watching? This is horrible. And I'm sitting there going like, no way. This is just like old school WWE with less production, and I really enjoyed it. As silly as it was, I really enjoyed it, and I loved all of their packages going into it. Like, I didn't know who anybody was, and I was still completely invested in the storylines. So they're doing something right over there.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's alternatives to look at other things and to enjoy it. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm starting to have eyes opened and looking in different areas outside the WWE. As naive as it sounds, it's something that I've talked about this many times, that I've been wanting to branch out, and I feel like this is the year for me to do it. I'm excited for New Japan. I'm excited for AEW. Hey, and maybe I'll keep my eye open and watch a little bit more of TNA. You know, it is what it
Impact.
Is. Impact Wrestling.
I will miss hearing Kenny Omega being announced in New Japan, though.
Kenny Omega!
Oh, I'll miss him. Dude, I went back and watched so many matches of his entrances, good. And just... So yeah, absolutely, we're going to miss it. I think he'll be back eventually, but I think now it's a different chapter in his career. He's got to go on and do different things, and is it going to be in the AEW or the WWE? I would feel... I mean, we did talk about that a bit earlier, but I feel like if he went to the AEW, the door might still be open for him in the WWE. You know, if he was like, hey, I'm doing a year in AEW, I want to go to the WWE, they'll sign him up in a second.
But I think it's going to be the reverse.
Well, the thing is, if he goes to the WWE now, he'll be locked in for years.
Yeah, but I was reading that it's a 5-year contract that everybody's getting in AEW. And Kenny in five
That's
years in
crazy.
WWE
is... Is that like what happens if it folds in a year?
Well, then they just... I don't know if it's guaranteed, but who gives a shit? There's like the Bucks are in for 5 years. And Hangman Page is in for 5 years. And
yeah,
Cody
but the Bucks probably got like a $5 million signing bonus, you know, like, or more.
They're probably going to make tons of royalties. Good for them.
Dude, they're going to make so... Yeah, for sure. Good for them. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, so this is the first time I think that we've gone this deep into the podcast without actually going through Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, it's great. 2019, it's a fresh start, new content. We hope you guys have not turned off the podcast.
I think we're going to reach a broader audience, and I'm going to thank the boys over at Smart to Death because I follow them on Twitter, obviously. I actually put their notifications on because they're always posting about indie shows.
I love Smart to Death.
Indie shows or what's going on and what channel and what this. And that's why I watch Impact. That's why you watch Impact. They told me, I told you, and now we're talking about it on the podcast. So what up to the boys over there? But let's talk about the new era of WWE. And I'm putting my quote unquote new era of WWE in the air because... The first thing that I always hated it, we talked about it on another podcast, is I hated the rematch clause. And when they announced that it was gone, I was so excited, and they're saying new matchups, new faces. All we got differently, because we literally have all the rematches coming at Rumble from the last pay-per-view. They just put one match in between, like a qualifying match to get your rematch, and everybody won. Becky won. Seth Rollins won. AJ Styles won. The fuck is going on here?
It's ridiculous. I was excited as well, too. You know, new matchups, new faces. You don't get your rematch, but everybody's getting their rematch. So, yeah, it's a bit ridiculous if you ask me.
The announcement of the women's tag titles, where are they?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, he announced that. Not really a mention of it this week. I know the fact that they might not want to play this out right away, but the fact that Vince McMahon had mentioned it, at least kind of, you know, allude to it or roll towards it. And the thing about these tag titles is I can see the future. I know it's going to happen. And if I'm wrong, great. I hope I am wrong. But it seems like they're really strongly pushing towards Bayley and Sasha winning these titles for the first time. They're going to go at WrestleMania. They're probably going to fight Trish and Lita for these titles. But I could see these titles being passed around like hot potatoes. And I really hope not. Because you have Sonya Deville and Mandy. You know, you have the Riot Squad. You have all these women that are working together that can make these tag teams. And I just feel like it's going to be passed around a little bit. You know, Lana's going to have it at some point, most likely.
It's going to be the Paige of the WWE.
I'm trying to be nice to Paige this week.
No, but you mentioned Bayley and Sasha, and you made a good point. You sent me a text the other day. When we saw Sasha come out and interrupt the Moment of Bliss, which I think is another part of the new era, how they're doing these talk shows on the ramp instead of in the ring, you know, changing it up.
I thought it was a bit weird that it was the debut of a Moment of Bliss, but we've seen the Moment of Bliss many times on the Titan.
Oh, no. You can't question creative. We've never seen this before, Des. Brand new.
Never.
Brand new. But
brand new.
You mentioned that you think the Four Horsewomen are coming sooner than later. And I think you're right, man. Inputting Sasha Banks into this match. I read somebody writing that Becky is going to cost Ronda the title at Rumble. And then Ronda will enter the Rumble and she'll win the Rumble and we'll still get. Hey, why not? I see you rolling your eyes, but why not?
I don't think Ronda's going to be winning the Rumble. Like, you can't give her everything. I know the WWE would give her everything, but that would be a terrible decision.
But how do we go? I don't think we're going to see the tag team at WrestleMania, like you mentioned. I don't think it's going to be Sasha.
Yeah, yes, we will. Yes, for sure. I will bet you on that one. Absolutely. We will see the tag team titles. They're coming.
No, at Mania, I'm saying.
Oh yeah, we very well might be. Sasha's not going to win against Ronda. There's no way. The reason we're getting Ronda and Sasha now is because it's a dream match. People want to see that match. They want that new. This is their new matchups.
Is it?
So yes, this is their new matchups. This is their little swerve. They want to have Sasha versus Ronda Rousey. You know what? I saw it and I was like, I roll my eyes at Sasha because I think she has all the tools. But she's not the best in the roster and she's not what I want to see right now. And I think every week I talk to you about her knees. She does all those moves with her knees, but they're soft. So soft. Yeah, that's it. She has the tools. I want her to get to that level. I just feel like there's so many women around her that are coming up that aren't at that level. I'm sorry, guys. I know a lot of Sasha fans out there and I'm not knocking her. I think she's great. I don't think she's a master on the mic like a lot of people say. But I'm excited to see this matchup because I think Sasha and Ronda are going to put on a great match. I think Sasha can put on a very good match. She's a very good wrestler. I'm not trying to disregard that. But, you know, if you think about it, well, what's the plans for Ronda Rousey? You know, she's going to go on to the Royal Rumble. She's going to defend her title. But then after that, she's going to be focused on WrestleMania. And remember, we talked about it for a few weeks or many weeks, how she wants to have children. And most likely, she will be taking time off after WrestleMania. I'm very likely to believe that she'll take time off after WrestleMania. So you won't get that Sasha versus Ronda match. So they're doing that now. I think it's a very good idea. I think it's going to makes Royal Rumble more appealing for me, for sure. I want to see the match they're going to put on. I also want to see Ronda Rousey devour Sasha Banks. But
she's going to ragdoll her around.
I also try to think about like what they're kind of talking about around the scene, right? So if you remember that, Ron is like, oh, you know, Becky and Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley was there at ringside. So it seems like they're planting the seeds for the Four Horsewomen After Sasha won that match, there's pictures of them on social media. They're flashing the Four Horsewomen sign. You know, we've seen Becky and Charlotte kind of get on the same page, you know, at some point in time, just to kind of, you know, speak their mind about Ronda Rousey. So I feel like the Royal Rumble's a good time to have the two other women from NXT go into the Royal Rumble. We can start seeing who they are and learning about them. And maybe Shayna Baszler is going to lose her title at NXT TakeOver and be in the Rumble. Mind you, I think she should keep her title. And we've talked about this as well. People who have the NXT titles, or titles in general, should be able to be on any show.
Agreed.
So Baszler should be basically, like, you know, dominant, win her NXT TakeOver match as champion, look like a beast, and then show up in the Royal Rumble anyways.
Yeah, fuck this
and
shit.
And then be on Raw as well, too, for the following weeks, you know?
But where, if the Four Horsewomen, if the storyline begins at Royal Rumble, where is the payoff?
I really hope it's the Elimination Chamber. They give us that match because, honestly, we need to have that Becky and Ronda Rousey main event, not main event, or main event, whatever you want to call it, at WrestleMania 35. I feel like they're going to shove Charlotte in there and whatever. I can deal with that worst case scenario too, but they need to have that match. So if they end up switching things around and just making it the, you know, Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen, then you said maybe 5 minutes ago that maybe she is going to lose the title. Well, maybe. If they are going to do the Four Horsewomen at WrestleMania, it would make sense to take the title off her and then let them have a separate women's championship match. So, I don't know. A lot of question marks coming out of it, but I feel like they're definitely going to be pulling the trigger on that Four Horsewomen, also because of her taking time off, maybe to have children or after WrestleMania. So they have to get this done now.
Yeah, they have to get the Four Horsewomen match in. They have to get Ronda versus Becky in, or Ronda, Becky, Charlotte, one or the other. I don't know how they're going to fit this all in, because Fastlane, or whatever it's called, the pay-per-view...
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, no, there's Elimination Chamber, but isn't there another one before WrestleMania as well? Fastlane?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. They're definitely not going to do it on that one, because that's like the worst pay-per-view of the year. So they don't have much time. They don't have much time to fit this in. But here we are, talking about the women's division again. The men's division on Raw, to me, is in a state of disaster. And... I don't know if, like, we have no idea what the match is going to be at WrestleMania. What's going to be the big men's division match? And I don't think it's because creative is doing a good job at, like, keeping us guessing. It's because creative has no fucking idea where we're going to go.
I think they're changing things on the fly, too.
Like,
and to your previous point, there is another pay-per-view. Fastlane is in March. So yeah. Great. Kudos to you there, my man.
And there's no way they're going to put that, a Four Horsewomen match on Fastlane. Fastlane is literally always like a rematch of the Raw.
Or they want to put big matches in there to get more viewers, because people like us are like, Fastlane's crap. So maybe they're like, what if we have the Four Horsewomen?
They won't do that, though. You know that.
I sure as hell hope not.
They won't, though. So, the men's division is in a state of disaster. That Braun Strowman-Lesnar segment was...
It was cringy. I thought it was like bad timing. Like, Strowman was like... I thought it was a pre-recorded segment backstage.
Yeah.
That Strowman was trying to time with.
I agree.
And then Lesnar would show up right behind him or something. And I was like, oh, the timing's off. It's a bit awkward. But no, like, it just was a terrible, terrible segment.
Blah, blah, blah.
I agree. I thought exactly the same thing as you. It was like, this is pre-recorded because Paul Heyman kept talking over Braun. And then I thought Brock was going to show up behind him. Like, exactly what you mentioned. But no, it was just horribly produced garbage.
And I can't help but think that the same thing's going to happen to Strowman at Royal Rumble. It seems like every time he fights Brock Lesnar, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
And it's funny, he actually wrestled Brock Lesnar at last year's Royal Rumble as well, too. So
did he?
With Kane was involved. It was a triple threat.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he was there. And, I don't expect much coming out of this. It's a bit sad. But at the same time... You know, Brock Lesnar most likely will go to WrestleMania as the champion. And what my Christmas or my 2019 gift would be, I want Seth Rollins to win the Rumble. Because I know he's smaller than Strowman. He's smaller than most men that have taken on Brock Lesnar. But I feel like he has the heart and the fans can rally behind him. And he can be the one to slay the beast at WrestleMania. And then we finally get Seth Rollins back as the Universal Champion. And I also hope this teasing of him being the old Seth Rollins turns out to be we get the douchebag heel Seth Rollins back. But even if we don't, I'm okay with
it. I don't
that.
Want the douchebag back. I want him to win as a face. I mean, he could change later on, but I want him to win as a face.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind. But we'll see. I think his feud with Ambrose, at least for the time being, it seems like it's ended. God, seems like Bobby. God. What the most disappointing ending, you know? I knew that street fight. I knew that it was going to be someone coming in the end and being involved. And then you saw at the end, he's like, curb stomp. And it's like, one, who's that? And I'm like, oh my God, who's that? And honestly, I've never been so deflated. You're when like I found out it was Bobby Lashley. Like, oh my God, man.
Where's Dango?
Where's the change? Where's the change? And then then Seth Rollins is like, new target acquired on social media. And it's like, oh God, no, no.
Oh boy. No. There was some high notes from Raw, though, and I do want to mention the Drew McIntyre promo at the beginning with John Cena was great. I mean, John Cena is still probably the best promo cutter in the WWE. Finn Balor got a huge pop when he ran out. I thought that was cool. Sweet spot over the ropes, and they went right to commercial break, which just killed the momentum. And when they came back, six-man tag? Are you fucking
commercial breaks
kidding
have
me?
Been brutal. You see the way they play them during SmackDown and Raw? It's terribly timed. And yeah, Drew Cena, for me, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is a huge opportunity for Drew McIntyre coming out, cutting a promo. And when he cuts a promo, I feel like Drew believes he is the hardest worker and that he is the best in the locker room. And, you know, Cena does his best to own Drew McIntyre.
There was a slight bury in when Cena... There was a
well,
slight
see,
bury.
That's what he does, man. Cena's challenging Drew to step up. There's a little bit of kayfabe in there.
Yeah.
So I like it. And, you know, it kind of pushes Drew. Drew didn't really fall off too much. The wheels didn't fall off when he kind of threw him that curveball. And I was excited to see these guys one-on-one. And I have to believe this is leading to something bigger down the line. There is a rumor that Drew McIntyre may face Cena at WrestleMania. Ooh. So I'd be excited for that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Cena do the job to put Drew McIntyre over.
Oh, for sure.
So
that
would be a hell of a match and a hell of a, I guess, notch in Drew McIntyre's belt. Since he's come back, man, the WWE has been so high on this guy. And you know what? Rightly so. He's been delivering, man. I love Drew McIntyre.
Do you?
No secret. No secret.
Tell me how you really feel.
No.
Another high note from WWE this week, though, was the Muhammad Ali, Mustafa Ali, Rey Mysterio.
Was that an accident?
Yeah, totally. I even wrote Muhammad Ali on my notes.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I remember going back because I couldn't spell Muhammad. Yeah, so Mustafa Ali and Rey Mysterio versus Samoa Joe and Almas. It was fun, man. Really enjoyed the match.
Yeah, the match was pretty good. We even saw Ray hit a Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
That flipping pile driver was really good.
I'm surprised they let him do that. I'm surprised they let him do that.
Well, probably didn't. Vega is so good on the outside, too. I watch her, and like the stuff she says is really like, I don't know, she kind of goes the extra mile, you know? Like, get up, or ignore him, or he's behind you, or, you know, he did. Like, I don't know, just the stuff she says outside the ring, you can tell she really takes things seriously, and she's definitely a good pairing with Almas. I definitely like them together. You know, having Samoa Joe there was really good. I thought this was a great match. So it definitely added some energy to SmackDown.
It did, and then we got the Rusev Nakamura storyline, which is gaining some steam. Again, I know they're playing a little bit off this rematch shit, but...
Rematch shit again.
Yeah, but you know what? Nakamura's been good. I like this kind of storyline. I like how he was in the TV truck or whatever you call it.
Dude, his English was great. Yeah. It's like one of the best segments or storylines that he's been involved with in quite some time. And I'm actually excited to see him, the way he's been involved. He kind of put Rusev in his place and said, well, Rusev, it's not my fault Lana got hurt. And dude, he's right. It isn't. But at the same time, you know, Rusev's going to kind of see things through his eyes. Nakamura is the heel here, but I do like this feud with these two guys. I thought it was going to be boring, but oh man, it's been exciting. I when he dropped the belt for a second though, and is during his promo,
I know.
I was a bit worried. I was like, oh no, man, don't pull a Ziggler here.
I know. I was so worried too, man. I was so worried too.
But yeah, super excited. I like the chemistry between these two, and it's only started. I'm sure it's not very popular with most people. But I like that Rusev is kind of, you know, Nakamura is a big name, man. I mean, not being utilized in the WWE all that well, but I like the program between the two of them so far.
Absolutely. We got to talk about Mean Gene. We got to talk about that tribute from Hulk Hogan.
Man, fuck it. Yeah. Let's talk about something first. So Mean Gene, you and I started watching wrestling 90s. We went back and watched some early 80s stuff because we were in diaper shitting our pants at that time.
That's right.
But... me and Gene, it was a huge part of our childhood.
Absolutely.
And us growing up. And he's been involved in so many promos and so many memories. So if you guys are maybe younger viewers and you don't know much about Mean Gene, it's definitely worth going back and checking some of the iconic promos with Macho Man, with The Ultimate Warrior, with Hulk Hogan. You know, there's been so many people he's had amazing, I guess, segments with. You know, so very sad, a huge loss. I was very kind of... I was kind of uncertain with Hogan being involved in this because, honestly, they're talking about big changes. This was just a way to get Hulk Hogan back in kind of the WWE secretly, you know, and I thought it was pretty dirty. I wasn't very happy about it. A lot of people were outspoken about this. Chris Rucker's being one as well, too, man. Totally feel you on that. This guy, he never said he was sorry. Even when he came back, he said, I didn't know they were recording me. So this guy's never really said he's sorry. He's always make things about himself. I even find when people pass away, he's like, oh, I was in a great match with them. You know, like he'll always make things about himself. But I will say it wasn't too bad. He kind of kept it not about himself.
Yeah,
it was a decent tribute. Yeah, he did an all right job. So it
tainted.
Wasn't too bad.
He was tainted because of him, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So it wasn't too bad. But yeah, really, really sad. Like, I don't know.
Mean Gene was so good, okay? Back in the day, before cable TV, before Raw was a thing, we would watch WWE Superstars Saturday mornings at noon. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Mean Gene was on that, and he'd be like in the back, sitting on a desk with all the televisions behind him, and he would make it exciting. Like, I'm talking like... Main Event. I don't know if anybody watches Main Event now or at Shotgun Sundays. Like the lowest of the lowest WWE television. It was like a mid-carder versus...
Yokozuna versus a jobber.
A jobber. No, Yokozuna was a highlight. If Yokozuna was on the episode, it was a good episode.
I remember watching like, Saturday.
Like really...
One time, yeah.
Repo
Man.
I threw
some hot dogs in the pot. We boiled them. And I remember hot dogs. We'd be hot dogs.
Yeah.
And... Crafted, we'd watch wrestling. It would be beautiful.
But it would be guys like Repo Man against like John Grisham. Like, okay. Not John Grisham. He's a fucking author, but you know what I mean. And Mean Gene made John it Grisham. Fucking good. He made it fucking good. And it was sad to see him go. I know 76 sounds like a good life, but I feel like I watched him a few years ago on the Heroes. The Legends House. And he seemed like he was in pretty good shape. I mean, he was fat and he looked like shit. But like...
But he used to be really thin, so he let himself go at some point.
Well, you got to at some point, man, you know? And even his work in WCW, it was so sad to see him there. And I know a lot of people, younger listeners, probably think that that's where he was from. No, he's a WWE guy, full
WWF guy.
WWF, touche.
I want to say one funny thing, though. You're talking about Main Event and how the crap of the crap is on Main Event. So, we talked about a little bit earlier about all the NXT call-ups and how there's new talent. We've been seeing all this talk about people coming up to the main roster week after week after week after week, but we have not seen them yet. Well, on Main Event this week, that was where some of them debuted, folks.
Oh my God.
Lacey Evans took on Natty and lost. She lost her debut match against Natalya.
Oh my God. They gave Natty a win on Main Event? What's the point?
They better give her a win on Main Event. You lose a Main Event, that's like losing on heat.
What's the point of announcing new faces, promoting the shit out of this Lacey Evans chick, and then having her lose to Natty on Main Event, which you just said is the lowest of lows?
It's practice. You're going to see Lacey Evans is going to come up to Raw now.
House shows.
Lacey
practice
Evans is going
to...
Yeah, they probably are wrestling on house shows. But Lacey Evans is wrestling Natty, so they're probably going to do a little program together because Natty's not doing anything. Natty's a good person to work with. She worked with Ronda in the beginning.
She's a Dolph Ziggler of the women's division.
Yeah, could very well be. And Lacey will face Natty probably when she comes up to Raw. That's going to be my guess. And then EC3 took on Curt Hawkins. At least he got a win.
Well, fuck. It's against Curt Hawkins. He better get a goddamn win.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, imagine he lost. That'd be terrible.
Oh, my God. Imagine Curt Hawkins gets his first win in 10,000 matches against EC3. Jesus. Yeah. EC3.
I'd have to imagine Nikki Cross is going to be on SmackDown with Sanity. And if she is not, that is the worst missed opportunity of all the debuts.
Is it, though? I feel like she could stand alone, man. But I think she'd get lost.
We need to have those factions. With women need to be able to be in factions. Naomi should be with the Usos every week. They should make the Bullet Club in the WWE. You know, like, it's just...
Yeah, Bullet Club's dead, though. Bullet Club's dead.
Anything that is not WWE created, they want nothing to do with, so... Outside of AJ Styles.
Because WWE doesn't handle factions too well. Apart from DX, name another successful faction in the WWE. I mean, the Ministry of Darkness was pretty cool. Okay, I'll give it that. Actually, the Brood was good too. Yeah, Heart Foundation was pretty good too.
Yeah, Heart Foundation was a shit. And the Nation of Domination. Yeah. But the only reason you're not going to see them anymore is because, well, we're 2019 and that would be racist shit.
Would it be though? Like... they were so good. Nation of Domination.
And well, do you remember? I remember watching. It was like DX goes up a Titantron, and he's like, "Oh, Heart Foundation. We know you wrote the N word on the locker room wall." And then all of a sudden, Nation. He's like, "I think you the N word." And the Nation just runs down and beats the crap out of the Heart Foundation. And it was like, "Oh,
oh man!" When Owen Hart joined Nation.
Yeah, Owen Hart. Oh man, I love Owen Hart. Good times. I love watching his old. If you guys have not watched Owen Hart's work, go back and watch some of the matches he had with Davey, with Bret Hart, with Shawn Michaels.
His promos, man. His promos were so good. And with that, another episode of Talk Me in the Books, the first one of 2019. Boys and girls, www.prowrestlingtees.com/talkmania. 25% off starting next week. Go get yourself a shirt. Represent. Royal Rumble's around the corner. We're going to have a good time. We're going to party it up. I'll probably have a couple beers then. But before I get any sloppier, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Happy 2019, guys. Thanks for being a Talkomaniac. We have a lot to look forward to this year. We're going to be hitting up WrestleMania. We hope you can join us. Until next time, Happy Rusev Day!